Can one use the subtle sensations of comfort and discomfort that accompany in and out breathing as a basis for insight? If so, how much thinking / nudging the mind is useful versus simple observation? Absolutely. That's, you know, really paying attention to those aspects of comfort and ease that come up associated with the breathing, and those aspects of kind of discomfort, and because, you know, that is the reality of the fact of having a human body, having the breath, having a human body, having a mind that changes, because those aspects of comfort and discomfort change or modulate or come in and out, oftentimes without our agreement, and we're not totally in control. So that being able to, you know, a basis of insight, of course, is that non-self nature. If something were really in our control, then we if it were really ours and able to control, then we would be able to adjust according to our preferences the degree of comfort and discomfort that we're experiencing, and that's obviously not the case. So that's a basis of insight into one, its impermanent, uncertain nature, anicca lakana, its unsatisfactory and stressful in the sense of especially if one's counting on having it the way one wants all the time. There's inherent stress in that. Inherent difficulty and dukkha. So the dukkha lakana is there. And then the non-self nature. So that one can always be turning one's experience, because whether the mind is focused and peaceful, or whether it's not focused and a bit scattered, one still has the opportunity of using it as a basis for insight, because these you know, whether it's pleasurable or uncomfortable, that opportunity for insight is still there, and the opportunity for seeing it in its true nature is still there. It's not dependent on getting the mind into some ideal state that one is able to maintain until you live happily ever after. It's just this understanding of things in their true nature. So that the sense of how much thinking and nudging the mind is useful versus simple observation. Go back to the, I think it was the very first day of instruction that I emphasized the need for the recognition of what is it that leads to the increase in wholesome dhammas and the decrease in unwholesome dhammas, and what is it that increases unwholesome dhammas and decreases wholesome dhammas. And there's your you know, the degree of thinking or nudging or simple observation is not dependent on having a formula to hand in terms of, oh, I must be doing it right because I'm thinking in the right way, or I must be doing it right because I'm doing simple observations, and that's what I was told to do. But paying attention to what your mind is the state of mind that you're experiencing, and what is it that is fruitful and beneficial, and what works and what doesn't work, what's skillful, what's unskillful, what allows the mind to establish itself in wholesome states of mind, to decrease the wholesome. So these are the aspects of investigation that are necessary, and so that sense of being able to really rely on whatever experience is arising in practice in order to develop those aspects of kind of a proficiency and confidence. And because sometimes you go through periods of where, say, the breath might be there's some discomfort, or there's some discomfort in the body. And does that mean that's the end of one's practice? Hardly. One has to be able to be willing to investigate and be present, and to neither to be shaken by the experience of dukkha, and not to take personally anything that arises, and seeing through the through phenomena with that lens of non-self,